Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. We got to hang out with Molly Rennick, frontwoman of Living Dead Girl, as we talked all about this band and what's to come for them. This first aired on August 27th. Enjoy. Well, you've heard me talk about it on the show, but one of the best festivals of the summer took place in Grand Rapids over the course of 2 days. The Upheaval Festival featured some massive acts like Falling in Reverse, Rob Zombie, The Architects, Wage War, and many others. And it also featured a ton of newer bands that are poised for some big, big things to come, too. And one of those bands is Living Dead Girl, and I love catching them at Upheaval. And tonight, I am beyond thrilled to say we're hanging with Living Dead Girl's frontwoman and founder, Molly Rennick. Molly, thank you so much for hanging with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So let's jump right into it. This might be the first introduction for some listeners into Living Dead Girl. Where did this band come from?
This band came from me jamming with random strangers off the internet in my parents' basement when I was 15 years old. I was always so determined to be in a metal band, but I grew up in a small town in Ontario, and it was very hard to find metal musicians. I feel like I would have had a better shot if I was trying to do country or literally any other genre but metal. So I would post listings on, it's the Canadian version of Craigslist called Kijiji, looking for musicians and just have like random people show up at my parents' house and jam with me. And then throughout that time, I found who is now still our bassist, Jordan Storing. So he's the other original member who joined with me when we were 16 years old. So now fast forward 10 years later, and we evolved into an actual band since then.
That's amazing. What did your parents think about these random metalheads showing up to play music with their daughter?
I remember the one time a really creepy one showed up and was refusing to leave our house. And my mom said to me, okay, you're done. You're not doing this anymore. She's like, stop giving them our address. Go rent a rehearsal space.
That's awesome. I love that. What was it about metal? I mean, like growing up in this small town, not surrounded by, you know, a ton of other people who like that kind of music. Like what sort of introduced you to metal, to heavy rock, that made you want to be like, no, this is what I want to do?
I grew up in a household that really listened to rock music, but it was a bit more like classic rock, like Pink Floyd, Van Halen, that kind of stuff. And then when I was around 10 years old, I started discovering on YouTube like Marilyn Manson and some heavier stuff like that. And I really realized that I liked even heavier than just rock music. So that's like kind of what started getting me into that when I was around 10 years old. And I literally went out and bought like black lipstick and everything at age 10. I was just like, this is me now. It's not a phase, Mom. And then I started learning how to scream when I was about 15, 16 years old. I remember listening to Horror by In This Moment thinking like, how do you do that with your voice? And I kept trying and trying and hurting myself in the process and like just screaming at my parents' house sounding horrific. And then one day I just like found the spot. And it's kind of just like a muscle memory at this point. But once I figured out I knew how to scream, I was like, this is going to be my thing.
I love that. I love hearing that. When you were 10 and you started discovering like, oh, I like this heavier music, did you also immediately feel like, I'm not just a fan, I want to make this?
I did, yeah. I always sang growing up, but I would sing along to, you know, like Avril Lavigne, Hilary Duff, like female pop stars. So I always loved singing, but then I started realizing I want to headbang and jump around and scream. I don't want to lip sync and dance. I want to do the rock thing.
I love that. So when you, when you had all these people come over jamming and then, you know, eventually you found the guy who helped you form the band and you started this idea of Living Dead Girl, what was sort of the hope at that moment? Like that very first moment where this started feeling like, all right, this is a real thing. Like what was going through your head? Like, this is what I want for Living Dead Girl.
I feel like we were very naive and maybe a tad delusional because we were 16 and we didn't know the real world yet. But Jordan would come over and I would do his makeup and we would take selfies and post them on Facebook and be like, new album coming soon. Even though we hadn't written a single song yet, I feel like we were just so overly optimistic and hopeful and maybe a tad overconfident. We were just like, we're the real deal. We're going to be this huge metal band, but we were just a singer and a bassist. But I feel like it's good that we had that kind of overconfidence because that's really, once it did start becoming into a like a real thing, we already felt like, okay, now we know what to do. We already had a Facebook page. We'd already invited thousands of people to like it. So by the time we actually did drop a song, we already had a little bit of a following from our cringy posts.
Well, and I have to imagine too, just like, one thing that boosted that confidence was finding Jordan, right? Like finding a like-minded person.
Absolutely, yeah.
Growing up in a small town, loving this kind of music, probably felt like you were the only person who listened to this.
Exactly, yeah. I went to a Catholic high school that was absolutely massive. It was like 2,000 kids. And I was like the only gothic person there. Like we had to wear uniforms, but I would wear platform boots and black lipstick with it. I got bullied really badly and didn't have many friends. I had one friend, and if she wasn't there at school that day, I would just not eat lunch because I was too scared to go sit in the cafeteria alone. And then I met Jordan. He actually lived in a city an hour and a half away from me. So he would always drive that hour and a half to come jam with me. And it was kind of like my only metalhead friend.
Yeah. Well, man, it's so meaningful. And that, you know, we say it all the time on the show, but the power of music, like it, so powerful, right? To sit in your room by yourself with your headphones on and connect with a song. But also when you find your people, there's just nothing like that. And going through what you went through in high school and then being here now, you know, fast forward a decade and making music and having fans and playing to so many people at the Upheaval Festival and wherever you play, and being surrounded by the band, like it just must be such a great feeling to be able to look back and be like, you know, that didn't define me, those moments or those issues or whatever with other people. Like this defines me and this is who I am and this is where I'm headed.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
So you released your debut album Exorcism in 2021, in the middle of things being pretty crazy and uncertain all over the world. What was that like to make your debut at a time like that?
The timing was awful because we finished recording in February of 2020 and then the lockdown started in March. So our plans for that year were we're just going to tour as much as we can, as far as we can. We hadn't toured at all yet at that point. I had only played 8 live shows in my entire life leading up to that point. So we were just like, we got to tour, we got to build an audience, we got to go spread the word about this album. But then there was a lockdown and we couldn't. But looking back, it actually worked out fine. Like we redirected and navigated it pretty well, I would say, because not touring gave me more of like a budget to put into music videos and marketing because I was just at home working anyways. I wasn't on the road living in a van. So I was able to like spend a lot of money like making really high quality music videos for Exorcism Alive, Poltergeist. And so I feel like we set a really good first impression because of that. So looking back, no regrets. I feel like we did the best we could with the circumstance we were given.
Yeah. And you know, the you can't control that, right? I mean, that's something that nobody could control. And so the timing is what the timing is, and you made the best of it. And here we are.
And I feel like it worked in our favor because everyone was sitting at home bored. So I feel like a lot of people were discovering our music because they were scrolling YouTube or Facebook. So like when we released our first music video Alive, it had hundreds of thousands of views like so quickly, because I feel like people were looking for things to do. So it kind of benefited us.
Yeah, no, that's a silver lining to such a crazy time for sure. Mm-hmm. What do your parents think now as, you know, as you share those memories of inviting people over, strangers over to play metal? And then here you are, you know, we're getting ready for the follow-up to Conspiracy. What do your parents think?
Oh, they're definitely proud now, but I feel like it took a while to get them kind of on board. At first, you know, my parents aren't participation trophy parents. They don't just say, you're doing great, sweetie. They really pushed me like, if you're going to do this, you got to do it right. You got to take singing lessons. You got to see a vocal coach and everything. They were never just like, yeah, you're the best. And I'm grateful they aren't like that because I feel like that doesn't do anyone any good to be encouraged when you actually could work a little harder on it. So I feel like, yeah, they really pushed me. And now to see it paying off, they are very proud.
Awesome. Well, this next album, Conspiracy, is out in October. How does it feel to be talking about a new album?
It is very exciting. I kept saying to my band members, I just want to be in a new album cycle already. Like the lead up to Exorcism coming out was so much fun. Like the interviews, the press, like it's just like such like a big build up. Like we're going to release an album. And then we haven't done that now in like 4 years. We did a covers EP, but that was kind of just for fun. That's not originals or anything. So now to be back in this is just so exciting. It's really fun.
And the latest taste of this album is Poison Me, the song. Is this a good feel for the rest of the record?
It definitely does set the tone for the whole album. It's kind of more intense and dark than past Living Dead Girl releases. And I feel like that really tells you what you're in for with Conspiracy.
Awesome. I love hearing that. Well, listen, you know, you talked about the beginnings of this band and, you know, maybe having some naivety and thinking, you know, you're putting those cringy posts online and all of that. Here we are now, though, right, in 2025, getting ready for a new album. You've played a lot more live shows than you had at that point. Mm-hmm. What runs through your head now when you think about, all right, I understand this. I have a better grasp on, you know, the business side of things. I have a better grasp on me as a performer, all of that. What runs through your head when you think about, now this is what I want next for Living Dead Girl?
I feel like it's a lot easier now to, like, make the plans on what to do, because now I have toured. I know what goes into a tour. I know how expensive it is, how tiring it is, how difficult it is to do no days off and stuff. So now I feel like I've had kind of the reality check that Teenage Molly needed. So I feel like now when we sit at the drawing board and think, could we play these shows or could we release singles this day? Like, now I understand it all. So really, like, experience has been absolutely priceless thing to have. And I feel like I'm a lot better set up for success now than I was 4 years ago.
I got to ask you, the name of the band, inspired by Rob Zombie?
Indirectly, I suppose. Okay. It wasn't on purpose. I started calling my band that when I was 15 years old, because my mom said that when I was born, the doctor thought I was dead. So they were saying, oh, we think this is stillborn. I came out gray and not breathing, apparently. So I started calling my band Living Dead Girl when I was 15 because I was like, I was born goth. And I thought, wow, I was so edgy and cool for that.
That's a wild story. I just
dropped it so nonchalantly, too. I'm like, yeah, I was born dead.
Yeah, so from literally day one, this was this is who you were going to be.
That set the tone for my whole life.
Wow, that's amazing. The new album is out in October. What else is on the horizon for you?
We have an album release party that we are playing the day the album comes out in Orlando, Florida at Conduit. So we're very excited to make a big deal out of this release. We never got to have a real album release party for Exorcism because of the pandemic. We just had a little party in my backyard instead. So I kind of feel like this is our chance to have like a big celebration for our album. So I'm really looking forward to that. We have some more singles and music videos coming out before then. We have a couple more music videos we're shooting, a lot of new content that's being created, and starting to plan our future tours.
I was going to say 2026 is probably shaping up to be a big year for you.
I hope so.
Yeah. Any dream acts out there that you'd love to tour with? You mentioned Manson being, you know, such a significant part of kind of discovering this music. And you mentioned In This Moment and, you know, obviously Maria Brink and her voice sort of showing you like, oh, wait, I could do this. Or, you know, there's more to this. Who else out there would be a dream act to hit the road with?
So besides those obvious two, I would say Falling in Reverse, Motionless in White, Hailstorm, Lilith Czar, anyone like that I could tour with, I would happily take.
Nice. I love that. I love hearing that. Well, Molly, I got to say, it was so great to see you at the festival, and what a crowd you had at that stage. You know, just, I could tell people who knew Living Dead Girl and were so excited to see, and people like me who had never seen you before. And that was the first time. It was so great to see you.
Yeah. Thank you. It was so cool because we've never played in Grand Rapids, Michigan before. So having a lot of people there who already knew who we were, it's cool to meet them after and ask, like, where did you find us? And hearing, like, radio, TikTok, whatever. We're kind of just, like, surveying people to see, where did you all come here from?
Yeah, no, it was great. And such a great moment in that festival, filled with other great moments, too. But I think Living Dead Girl on that Saturday was so much fun.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Molly Rennick, thank you so much for hanging with us tonight, celebrating all things Living Dead Girl. Listeners, get caught up on everything going on in their world at livingdeadgirl.ca. We'll keep you covered here on Loudwire. Molly, it's good catching up. I cannot wait for this new album out in October. And I know this is the first time that we've officially caught up. It won't be the last, so hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yes, of course, anytime.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.